You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Maker's Challenge. Places, please.
Places, please.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our special bonus day of the Places, Please Challenge. It is a beautiful Saturday here in New York City. It is sunny out. It is just a touch of fall coming. You can smell it in the air. But the most exciting thing about today is I scooted down to my office here in Times Square. You know what the most exciting thing about right now is? There are people going to the theater. That's right. The matinee crowds are growing in Times Square. The TKTS booth was open. There was a line. There were tickets going out the door. I haven't seen that in a year and a half. It's a very, very exciting time. I'm so thankful you all are here. I'll just start this bonus day off the same way I started off this challenge. I'm so thankful for every single one of you and your commitment to our art form, commitment to making theater, which is a commitment to making the world a better place. And most of all, this commitment to yourself, this commitment to wanting to learn more, to challenge yourself so that you can do the things that I know we all dream about. I'm right there with you. I got a lot of dreams, a lot of things I want to do and I want to accomplish. And it's weeks like this, it's challenges like this, hearing from inspirational and motivational people, being around other people just like me, which is all of you, being in a tribe like this, being in a community like this, that means the world to me. And I know will help. It will help us all do the things we want to do. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm just going to look at the comments now and say some hellos. Hello to Aurora. Hello to Megan Ann. Jen, Tommy, Lauren, Nicole, Renee, Phoebe, Kathy, hello, hello, hello. Hi, everybody. Hello from Greece. This is amazing. Every time I do one of these and we reach across the world, I'm reminded that theater is the international language, second only to love. Theater, but theater and love, like the same thing. So it's great to see all of you. Let's see who else we got there. Hugh says, howdy, a big howdy back at you. Isabel, Gary, Jen, you're awesome too. Katie, everybody out there, thank you again so much for being here. We've got a very non-structured day for you today. That's right. It's like an improv day. You have no idea what I'm going to say next because I have no idea what I'm going to say next. We're going to really do just a live Q&A improv here. We're going to, whatever you want to know, whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about. So get those questions ready. You can start throwing them in the chat now. But I've got some business before. Mary Dina, my producer, who, if you remember, how many of you watched our live streams at the beginning of this pandemic? How many of you were around at the very beginning when I was live streaming every single night? Every single night. And what was amazing is we had a lot of people watching those live streams, like a ton. And that really is nothing to do with me. It has to do with the fact that no one had anything else to do at the beginning of this pandemic. Renee was there. Someone from Facebook was there. Look at that. I mean, I was amazed because what else were we doing? Nothing. Sitting around staring at our computers. Listen to me make like bad dad jokes with Danny Burstein and all sorts of folks that we had on our live stream. Oh, Danny Burstein, my computer shut down in the middle of that one. Anyway, if you want to go back and watch any of those, I think they're on our Facebook page. So we'll throw a link into that. But there's some great, very insightful things from people, including my first one with Stephen Schwartz, a whole ton of folks. So go check those out. But we are going to do it just like we did those. We're live. We're off the cuff. Taking your questions today. So go ahead and throw those questions in the chat and Mary will look for them and call them out for me. But first, a little business. Let's face it. One of the reasons you showed up today and you showed up all week is that we were giving away free stuff. So I'm here to announce, and if you see my eyes scrolling back and forth, it's because I got like seven screens going on here. And I'm here to announce the winner of the day five giveaway, the person who did their homework, I'm here to announce the winner of a free membership to the Theater Maker Studio. That's right, a free membership to the Theater Maker Studio and a Finale music software license, super value. This is like over $1,000 right here, this value alone. Winner of that free membership is Christina Zill. Christina Zell, look at, there's their homework right now. There it is. Mary is so good. There's homework. Christina, you have won a free membership to the Theater Maker Studio, and you have won a free license from Finale Music Notation Software. Super valuable there. Congratulations, Christina. Are you here? There she is. Wowie zowie, says Christina. Wowie zowie. Christina, let me ask you a question. Are you a lyricist? Go ahead and throw that in the chat if you are, because your rhyming skills are like off the hook. The wowie zowie is fantastic. You have to do me a favor. Part of the fine print of winning this giveaway is that you now have to put wowie zowie as a lyric in an upcoming musical of yours. That's right. Bonus points if you call it wowie zowie. That's the name of the musical, wowie zowie. Here, we'll play a little fun game. I think I'm a lyricist now, says Christina. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Here's fun. Chat me a log line for Wowie Zowie the Musical. And we'll give away right now, we'll give away another membership to the Theater Maker Studio right now to my favorite log line for Wowie Zowie the Musical. Wowie Zowie the Musical, go. You got this whole Q&A to come up with something. And at the end, we'll pick one of you as a winner. Logline, which is a one sentence pitch. I'll evaluate a little bit at the end and we'll give you a free Theater Maker Studio membership. Wowie Zowie the Musical. Wowie Zowie, what an owie. There's the first entry right there from Jen Coogan. Okay, so that's the first bit of business. And then we're going to get into, someone also wanted to remind you yesterday, we did announce that special offer for the Theater Maker Studio. And I got a couple emails this morning saying I couldn't get the code to work. Can you repeat it? Blah, blah, blah. It's places. The code is places for Theater Makers Summit special challenge tickets. The code is places. You will save $100. You will get a free bonus day. Just for you guys, if you go to the website, if you check anywhere else, it's a much higher price ticket and you don't get the bonus day. So don't do that. Don't do that. Come to the summit and save $100 and use that places link. That, for those of you who are having trouble, that's the link. So I wanted to make sure I got that out of the way right now. Okay. That's it. Now it comes to improv part, as if this wasn't improv already. I'm sure you can tell. I've got coffee here, as I'm sure you can also tell. I'm here for your questions. So let's scroll through some of the chat here and get to some of these questions. Okay, I got one here. We are trying to move our musical beyond Kansas City, have done a number of table reads. Oh, thank you, Mary. And won some awards. What is our next step? Do you want to hire a general manager or try to find a producer first? So first of all, I was in Kansas City last week. Did you know that? I went to Kansas City. If you are not following me on Instagram, you wouldn't know that, or on Facebook. Do follow me on Instagram, and you'll follow all my crazy trips around the country and around the world. I'm actually going, sneak preview right now. In 1 week, I'm taking my first international trip in a year and a half, and I'm going to London, and I'm going to see Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cinderella. Some of you may remember I did some work for that amazing maestro. And two, I'm going to see Back to the Future. So very excited about that. And there'll be some stuff on the Instagram about that trip for sure. Last week, I was in Kansas City, which I loved. I went to Kansas City Starlight. I saw Escape to Margaritaville, produced by the Troika Organization Touring Company. Amazing cast, amazing group. Had a fantastic time. Super fun. But now on to you. So trying to move your musical beyond Kansas City. So you've done it locally, right? So you've done it locally. So this is a very interesting question, because it's about breaking out of your local comfort zone, your local bubble, whatever that is. And by the way, this concept applies for not only musicals, but actors. I hear this a lot from actors. Oh, I'm doing very well in my local community, whether that's Boston or whether that's Orlando. How do I get to New York? So the same thing applies for artists, directors, and musicals. And the fact is, in order to, if you want your show to move on to bigger places, by the way, it's okay to just be a community big fat hit. There was a great musical years ago, a great musical success story years ago. I forget the name of it. We'll Google around for it. It was an ice fishing musical. That's right. It's like a two-person ice fishing musical, or maybe a play. And it was like a massive hit in the upper Northwest, right? Like Minneapolis, North Dakota, South, places where there is ice fishing. And it was just a monster hit just in that area. It just goes to show you that ain't so bad. So, but you want to go beyond Kansas City, which means, you're going to have to go beyond Kansas City. Literally, you're going to have to start exposing yourself to the other areas of the theatrical world. And of course, if you want to make it anywhere, you got to make it here in New York City. You got to show it to the New York City players and markets. There's a couple ways to do that, which is, you could try to bring some of New York to you, right? The next time you have a production, the next time you have a reading, something, you can reach out to producers and say, would you like to come here? Here's a tip. Offer to fly them. That's right. And I know what all of you are saying right now. What? That sounds extraordinarily expensive. There is something about the idea of flying someone and putting them up that sounds actually a lot more expensive than it is. And the fact is, flying someone out and putting someone up is a heck of a lot cheaper than doing a full reading in New York City, right? So people ask me this sometimes as well, like, oh, Ken, we'll fly you out to wherever to see it. And my eyes go, wow, that has value. For some reason, there is just this perceived value in it. And two, I say, that person is very serious. So you can try to bring the market to you. I've seen this work, right? The other thing to do is, yes, you're going to have to plant a flag in New York. You're going to have a debutante ball in New York City. And what I recommend is trying to do what you've done there, a reading here, and use all of the things that you have going for you. We won this award. We won this award. And now we're coming to New York. What do you need first, a general manager or producer? Well, look, I believe wholeheartedly, whether you call yourself this or not, because I know this is a big stumbling block for a lot of people. At the beginning of everybody's journey in writing a musical, producing a whatever it is, you're the producer. I know you want a producer. That's great. We're going to get you one. We're going to find you one. But at the beginning, at the onset, you have to act like the producer, because producers rarely sign on to anything until they see it. It is very, very hard for me to read a script and say, I'm going to produce that one. I'm going to spend 5 years of my life. I'm going to raise $15 million producing that one. That's a big decision for producers. So we like to see something first. I can tell you this. I have never, ever, ever signed on to a show that I haven't seen first if it didn't come out of my head. So you got to show it to them. So yes, the general manager and working on a way to get it up and shown in New York City is a much better use of your time than trying to find a producer, because the fact is the odds are you're not going to find one early. And I know for a lot of you, like, but that's what I'm looking for. Great. The how you find a producer is by doing such great work and putting that show up somewhere, somehow, that producer finds you, right? Make the content great, market the content, they will come a running, believe me. And wouldn't it be great to have producers tracking you down saying, I heard about your show, rather than you having to search and pitch over and over and over and over again. So yes, general manager, to quickly answer, general manager, try to get a reading up, something, have a debutante ball in New York City, or you could try the reverse as well if you've got something coming up in your local market. I'm loving these wowie zowies, by the way. I see these coming in. Okay, let's get to the next question. Thanks for that, by the way. Nathan Christensen asks, similar. You've said, Mary, if you're looking for this, at that 1210 question, you've said in the past that producers need to see new works performed instead of just in script form. I just said it again. What's the best way to do that in an almost post-COVID world? Zoom readings, YouTube, studio recordings. So first of all, let me just say, Nathan, I love your optimism. Almost post-COVID world. We are getting through this thing. We are. Every day I watch that New York Times percentage of cases, and it dropped again yesterday. It dropped. We're getting through this. We'll see a lot more vaccinations coming up with the more mandates on those kids. Let's get those kids vaccinated as soon as we can. Cross our fingers we get that approval soon. So we're almost there. What's the best way to do it in an almost post-COVID world, right? So in other words, Ken, I can't do a reading yet. I'm not comfortable with doing a reading yet. Well, look, first of all, our job here, you are the CEO of your own company, right? You are the producer of your own show, whatever you want to call it. A CEO's job, a producer's job, is always to look ahead, always. Everyone else is focused on a month from now. You've got to be focused on 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now. That's what CEOs do. If you follow the business world, which I follow to try to learn from and how to apply what the business world does to our world, you know, like future earnings, like they analyze this out for like stocks and things, they're looking way ahead. That's your job. So yes, we'll come up with something for the almost post-COVID world, but I also want you looking 6 months ahead, right? I have one, I'm counting them because they're on my wall. One, two, three, four, five readings started last week through November. I planned these 6 months ago. And this is going to get me ahead, right? Now, look, it's still a little bumpy right now. I don't know if you saw my Instagram yesterday. I had a giant nasal swab up my nose because we have to get tested a whole bunch of times. And it's a little more restrictive than we thought it was going to be just 2 months ago. But there's no doubt in my mind my shows will be further along because I pushed to get this development done now because I looked ahead. I said, we will be in that almost post-COVID work in the fall. Let me make sure my shows are ready for any opportunities that come up. So first thing, Nathan, I want you looking ahead. When are you going to do the in-person? 6 months from now, 9 months from now? I don't care when it is. Whenever you're comfortable, putting a pin in the calendar. Make a date. So, and then the answer is, what is best? Zoom readings, YouTube, studio recordings? So yes, all of them. I will say this, okay? I think when you were trying to get people on a hook, micro content is becoming much more popular and much more successful, especially since we've been in a pandemic for a year and a half and everyone is getting a little bit of the Zoom fatigue. Raise your hand if you're getting Zoom fatigue. I mean, I hope you're not getting Ken Davenport live stream Zoom fatigue, but we're all getting a little bit of this, right? We're all getting it. So getting people to tune in for Zoom readings for the length of it is harder. which is why I'm making sure everything that we do is recorded, right? Like this. This replay will be available for anyone that misses it later. Just like all the replays from all the challenges this week are available for you to watch in the Facebook group. We're making sure that's possible because it's getting harder for people to sign on to specific periods of time. So we're taping everything, right? Those five readings that I told you about, they will be recorded. Anyone that can't come will be able to see them. So Zoom, it's great, but we're seeing a little fatigue. So come up with some micro content. There is no coincidence that two of the biggest success stories of the last year, from emerging theater makers like yourself to now superstars, came from the micro content world. Ratatouille, Bridgerton. Both of those composers, lyricists, most of those songwriting teams, the marketers of those teams, because they're one and the same, the producers, they acted as their own producer. They made content, they put it out in the world. Abigail Barlow and Emily Bear, and then Daniel Mertzloff, who's speaking at the Theater Makers Summit and who wrote the theme song to Places Please. They created something. They produced it themselves. They put it out in the world, micro content. A year ago, you didn't know who the heck they were. Now, they're all of those people are signed to CAA. They've got very good, a lot of good stuff going on. I have heard about it. You will hear about them in the future. So look towards those micro content. Look towards those demos that you can put out on YouTube as one song. I'm a big fan of the one song pitch. I've been using this a lot myself. You know, I tell people my job is to be in the trenches, which is what I am every day with these five shows. I'm pitching to investors. I'm pitching to producers. I'm trying to get directors onto my shows just like you are, right? I'm doing the same things. And I'm finding out what works, and my job is to deliver what's working back to you and also deliver what's not working so you don't do that, right? I'm trying to save you some time. That's something that's been working for me, I'll share with you now, is this one song idea. So I send someone an email, talk about a show, ask them about them, and then I'm like, hey, by the way, listen to this one song from the show I'm doing, just this one song. Click, hear it, hook them on for the next, right? This one song idea, micro content. Little bit of bait, little bit of something. It doesn't take that much of an investment of their time to hear a couple minutes. So think about micro content, Nathan. That's what I would advise you to do. But don't forget, micro only gets them on the hook. The macro content is what's going to get them to sign on the dotted line. Okay. And you, by the way, most important thing is you. Okay. Aurora. Let's see. Another one, 1210 there, Mary. Keep these coming in the chat. I'll juice up on some coffee and keep going. Aurora says, I had to politely refuse a project because I was too busy with other commitments, but then regretted making that decision. They did so well, and it's going to be on Amazon Prime. Is it bad form for me to try to get on board for the next season of Wheel of Time, or would that make me look bad? First of all, don't listen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I passed on Dear Evan Hansen. That's right. I had the opportunity to be an early producer on Dear Evan Hansen, and I said no. It doesn't stop there. I had the opportunity to be a producer very early on Once, and I fell asleep during the movie. I passed. It happens. Now, I could spend the rest of my life, never mind the rest of this day, going, if I only hadn't passed on Dear Evan Hansen, my life would be different. If only, I mean, I would have another award. I would have more money in the bank. I would know, like, all these things. And you know what? What effing point would that make? I can't change the past. There's nothing I can do. Except this, why did I pass? Why did I pass? What can I learn from that passing? And would I pass again today? Which I very well might, right? Look, you learn from these things. That's the only thing I want any of us to do when we do something and then we regret it later. Regrets, forget it. So what I want you to do is think about what you can learn from that. Did I think I was too busy and find out, oh, I really can make more time? Was it a down part of my life and I just wasn't ready for it? Okay. You never know what would have happened. Okay. So forget it. Now we worry about the future. Now we think about the future. Now we think what we can do to make sure if we think, I would have done something differently. Okay. I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm going to do things differently. Right. For me on Dear Evan Hansen, the first time I saw it, I didn't quite understand it. And I heard the music and I love the music, of course, but I didn't quite see or relate to what was going on. That's just me. I couldn't relate to that. So I chose not to do it. That's the way it's going to be. I'm going to do that again. I'm going to pass on other things. No question about it. But what can you do in the future? Here's what I would recommend. The first thing I can do with pure, and I'm sure it's how you feel. Have you congratulated that group? Have you just said, I just have to tell you, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. I want you to be genuine in your congratulations and your gratitude for being even considered for the project. Just congratulate them. Let them hear from you. Let them know how happy you are for their success. And what I would suggest is that you don't ask for anything. You just say, I'm so happy for you. Wait for a response. And then sure, when they respond, you can say, listen, things have changed. Some things have opened up. If you ever need anything, you let me know. I am here. I would love to be a part of your journey. That's it. But again, just lead with sincere generosity of your spirit and how happy you are for their success. Because let me tell you something right now. I'm so glad you congratulated them. That's right. Great. That's the best thing you can do. You know, a lot of people, this happens to a lot. It happened to me early on in career. You work with people and then you see they go on to do something big before you've done something as big or whatever it is. And there's that jealousy and there's all of it. And there's like, oh man, I could like, no. Let me tell you, there is plenty of success to go around. This business is a very strange one. And I operated like this at the beginning of my career. And I know it prevented me from getting places, which is I was like very like, oh, I can't share this. And the moment I started sharing more, the moment an investor of mine said to me like, Ken, I'm interested in investing with other people. The moment I was like, great, go for it. Let me help you. I'm happy to. I want you to invest with other people. That's great. Go for it. Instead of trying to keep everything for myself and protect, the moment you open up, the moment you just try to spread again, grace, as Aurora just said, you win and the world wins at the same time. So yeah, congratulate them, which you already did. Definitely suggest keep an eye on what they're doing. Continue to congratulate them. Yes, offer to help. Do whatever you can. And don't feel bad. Don't feel like, will it make you look bad? No. As long as you're genuine in whatever you're doing, you can't. And frankly, as long as you can go to sleep every night and put your head on your pillow and be like, I'm proud of who I am and what I've done, that's all that matters. That's all that matters, not with what everyone else thinks. Okay. Justin, it all happens in the time it's supposed to. Oh, what a great quote, Justin. Thank you for that. Mary, throw that up there in the chat, Justin's comment that just came in. Because that's so true. We all of us are in this challenge because we want things to happen fast. And all the tips given by our amazing speakers this week and all the stuff we have in the studio and all the stuff you will hear at the Theater Maker Summit, there's no doubt it will speed it up for you. No doubt. Everything that you listen to, learn, absorb from other people who have done the things that you want to do will speed up the process of you reaching your goals, right? It's physics. You're applying force to something. When you apply force to something, there is a result. When that force is energy and education from people who have done what you want to do, it just speeds it up. There's no doubt. But I'm sure you all can agree, it just never happens as fast as we want it to, right? That's your entrepreneurial spirit. Right? When you're like, I want it to be yesterday. That's a good thing. It won't be yesterday. It will never happen as fast as you want it to happen. But if you keep at it, if you keep learning, if you keep challenging yourself, If you find a community, if you jump in that community, if you help support other people in that community, it will happen. It will happen. I am a testament to that, without a doubt. Without a doubt. It took me about 25 years to get to this place. And I got places I still want to go, right? It took me a long time. One of the reasons I started the Theater Maker Studio, one of the reasons I started blogging, one of the reasons I started podcasting, it was like, I can't let it take this long for other people. I need to share some of this stuff so that they can get on this journey fast. Okay, let's see what other questions I can answer for you. Mary, by the way, Mary Dina, are you there? Can you come on and say hi to everybody for a moment? She loves when I do this. There she is.
Hi.
Mary Dina, everybody. Big props, big hello to Mary Dina. Thank you so much, Mary. Another wonderful challenge. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Look, she loves being on air. Did you all catch that? We should go replay that. Mary, thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Mary does a great job behind the scenes. So, Mary, I'm going to put some pressure on you right now. Ready? You're okay. Going to be the one to pick the winner of the Wowie Zowie contest. Not right now.
Okay.
Not right now. Entries are still coming in. I see Katie Combs' logline in a dystopian future where rhyming has been outlawed. Two young creatives risk their lives to premiere.
They're good. I've been reading them. They're really good.
So listen, Mary, I mean, you should pop one. I'll start calling them out. You can pop one up every once in a while. But Mary, you collect them.
Okay.
And you're going to pick the winner at the end of this for the free Theater Maker Studio membership. And I don't know where we can put all these, but we should also like collect them somewhere. And I don't know, put them on Theater Maker Studio social because these are great. And try to get these people some followers on whatever social media they're on as well because they're coming up with some great ones. Okay.
Cool.
All right. Awesome. Say goodbye to Mary, everybody.
Goodbye.
Oh, she spoke. Isn't that nice? She's the best. She's the best. We're very thankful. I have to do very little work on these challenges because she does so much of it. So she has a great podcast, by the way. Mary, throw up the link to your podcast, Page Stage Podcast. We'll give Mary's podcast a shout out as well. Okay. Let's see. There's the dystopian future. Okay. Someone from Facebook on my StreamYard platform here, it says Facebook user 1225 with a large scale musical with flying, skateboarding, sword fighting. What is the best way to show it and hook them? Is a reading enough? Very good question. Very good question. Because you're not going to be able to show a lot of this stuff, right? You're not going to be able to show flying, skateboarding, sword fighting, etc. in a reading. So the key is, what can you show them? Can you show them a little bit? Can you show them something? Can you show them a video? Can you show them a storyboard? Can you show them something else? So I would try models. Like, I'm a big fan of the model, by the way. A scenic model or something. And here's why. And it really goes to the human mind and the biggest challenge of theater. So theater is an intangible art, especially at the beginning, right? It's like invisible ink. That's not like invisible ink. It's like disappearing ink. That's what I meant. It's like disappearing ink. We do it and then it's gone, right? And also when we are trying to get fans, investors, producers, directors, art, like all of this, it's hard to show them things. We have to show them a reading or a workshop, and that's not the finished product. And the fact is that it's even very hard to sell that to producers. Because they have to imagine what a script will look like on a stage, what a reading will look like with costumes and lights, what a workshop will look like. And it's hard to do. Not many people could see the brilliance of what Michael Arden was going to do with Once on This Island after our workshop. It was hard to see in a rehearsal room. We didn't have a goat, right? You couldn't feel the wind right? So it was hard to see that. So we had to really struggle with that show and bringing on partners, co-producing partners. So what can you do to show them? Well, you have to think about other things. So that's why I'm a big fan of the model, because the model is literally something you can touch. So a big tip for all of you at readings, if you have or try to get a model of your set, because here it accomplishes two things. Hi, everybody. Reading is over. Thanks so much for being here. If you'd like to check out our model, it's right over there. Guess what that does? Keeps people in the freaking room. Also, instantly separates people that are very interested in your show and not. If they walk out the door and don't want to look at your model, most likely they're not interested. If they walk over to that model, you better walk the heck over there as well, because that just was a litmus test to check people's interest. And what happens when they see a model is it becomes more real. And it's also literally something that they can touch. My almost new iPhone. They can touch, right? They can feel it. It becomes more visual, becomes more real. When they see things as close to something that what it will be like, it becomes more real in their head. When something is more real, it's something that they can support easier. So that's what I would do, is try to come up with a little model. Try to come up with other ways for you to show them that information, because you're right. It is difficult to show these spectacles. Okay. Let's see here. What else we got? Some great wowie zowies coming in here. Oh, it's Kate. Kate, that was Kate's question there. Hi, Kate. Welcome back. Kathy Horrigan says, hi, Kathy, by the way. Question re social media separate accounts, private for friends and family and another for branding, or all just combined? What do you recommend? So that's an interesting question. So I believe that in the modern world, well, two things. I don't know if you notice, I interrupt myself a lot. My mind tends to go a little bit faster than my mouth. So, which my mouth goes pretty dang fast, as you know. So two things. My first investor told me that people invest in people, not in projects. Like, that's what they do, right? So the story goes, I was raising money for my very first show from a mentor of mine, and I was in the middle of my pitch, my mouth moving very fast. Pitch, and he stopped me and said, Ken, I'm going to write you a check for $25,000, but I don't believe this show is going to work. And I literally called a timeout on my pitch, because this was a mentor. And frankly, this is a great thing for you to do, is like ask for advice and thoughts and feedback from people. And I did it. I said, I don't understand. Can you just tell me, why are you doing this if you don't believe the show is going to work? And he said, because I don't invest in projects, I invest in people. And that to me said a lot. And frankly, I find this in every industry that I have spoken to, every industry where I know someone in that I've spoken to about this. So I happen to know someone who is very, very successful private equity person, like on the board of some very big public companies. And is pitched some of the biggest tech companies that you can imagine for massive investments. And this is a person who also likes the theater. So whenever I'm with very successful people, cue my podcast, I ask them lots of questions. And the one thing I asked this very successful person who invests like $100 million at a time of a fund, this is not a personal wealth, but they're on the board of this fund that does a lot of things. I said, what is the number one thing that gets you to invest in a company? Is it proprietary technology? Is it a patent? Is it, what is it? And he said, it's the founder. It's the CEO. That's what I invest in. Same thing. He invests in people, no matter what industry it is, right? So to your question, Kathy, this is why I'm a fan of blending the two. Because people want to get to know you, the person, and then they will invest in you. By the way, whether that is, I want to literally invest with this person, or I want to buy a ticket to this person's shows, or whether it's, I want to hire this person as a director because they get to know you. They get to know you. And yes, Aurora, they invest in the people and their purpose, their why, right? So I'm a big fan of the blend. However, you can only do what's comfortable for you. If you're not comfortable sharing your personal beliefs or your person, your family, or any of that stuff, you don't have to. My family is a little different. I mean, I couldn't keep my daughter away from my camera. I mean, she is out there every day, and she's something I love to share. She has opened my life up in a totally new way and in a different way. And I like to share that, and she's okay with it. So I share some of that stuff to, again, let people know who I am, what my why is. My why, sure, theater, family, all of that. So I think that's actually part of branding, because today, more than ever, people want to know the people behind something, what they stand for, authenticity, transparency. So if you can, blend them, if you're comfortable blending. If not, don't. And by the way, as I give these tips and advice, especially with things like this, there is no right or wrong, right? There is no you must. There are plenty of successful people out there who have done it their own way, and you can. You know, one of the tips for actors that they get early on that I give too, never go anywhere without a picture and resume. Now it's a little bit different because they're all digital. But make sure you have it beautifully done and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's going to increase your odds of success. No question, right? And I tell people that is my job. That's the job of the Theater Maker Studio and the Summit and all of it, to increase your odds of success with tips and tactics, strategies, which we know we can do. But it doesn't mean the person without the picture and resume won't ever get a job. We've given jobs to people without pictures and resumes. So there is no right or wrong. There is, what are the things that I can do that have worked for other people that will get me to where I want to go and faster? And this is something that I believe can do that if you're comfortable with it. Okay, I'm going to get to it now because we've got about 15 minutes left in this podcast. With this challenge live stream, podcast was on my brain there. There's that. Tommy, thanks so much for the love of Theater Makers. I appreciate that. There's another wowie zowie. Do you need to know what theater for the model? By the way, that was a follow-up question. No. Look, for once on this island, you know, it was the worst negotiating move I ever did, but on purpose. I wanted to go to Circle in the Square. We didn't have Circle in the Square wrapped up. I invited the owner of Circle in the Square and I said, come see the model. And it was designed for his theater. I showed my cards, authentic, transparency. And he said, I recognize that. And I said, it's where I want to go. I just did this with someone else the other day. I said, hey, I'm just going to put my cards on the table. You are what I want. You are what I want, and I'm going to do everything I can to get what I want. What can I do to make this work out? Is that a bad negotiating move? Would some people, including some of my peers, say, like, you shouldn't do that? Probably. I feel there's more to gain by just saying, like, you're what I want. I want this to work out. What can I do to make it work for you? I'll do everything I can. If I can't do something, I'll let you know, and then you can make a decision. But let's just beat it up. Let's just get some theater made and faster, especially since a year and a half of not having any. Okay. Question. Katie Combs at 1240. Should you ever hold back portions of the work, example, arranging, to pitch to collaborators? Is that something that a producer would arrange? No, I don't hold back. Don't hold back. Literally, if you were doing some of this, you're making the producer's job easier, right? Why not? Go for it. Go for it. If something isn't working right, if it's not up to a certain level, maybe you make a change letter. Maybe you bring on an additional team member. But don't hold anything back for something that might be. Right? What if a producer signs on? And what if they want to pick this person? I'm just going to wait. Don't do it. Any producer that would not sign on because you picked a certain person already isn't a producer you want. What they might say is like, boy, I would really think that this person might be better for this project. What can we do? Great. But any person that says, no, I'm not going to do it because of this, that's not somebody you want on your team. And by the way, from practical experience, I can tell you this. I have never said, I'm not producing the show because that person's on it. That is not the way we work. We fall in love with the show, right? We fall in love with the people behind that show and we make it work. So don't hold back for something that is an if, right? You keep going. You do everything you can to make your show as attractive as possible to other people, audiences, producers, investors, and directors and all of it, and deal with the rest later. Let's see. Someone on Facebook, there should be a trade show in New York and elsewhere for new theater projects in business, the same as other industries. Yes. It's called the Theater Makers Summit. It really is. That's what it is. That's why we designed it. You hear from experts, but you get to pitch it as well. You get to meet other people, right? That's what all this is about. That's what all this is about. In fact, we have a new feature at this year's Theater Maker Summit. It's our fifth year, new feature. You know those old, like, actually somewhat creepy games now, the old, or at your local fair, there was like these kissing booths. Remember this whole thing? Although I never actually saw one. But we're going to have a pitching booth. That's right, a pitching booth, where we're going to have different producers for an hour and you can go in and get like 10 minutes with them and pitch your show, get some quick feedback and make a contact. We're going to do that this year. So look out for that announcement as well, but that's coming very, very shortly. But we've already lined up some great producers and investors. This is another thing we're doing this year that we haven't done before. I'm bringing in not just producers, I'm bringing investors, some of mine. That's right. I told you, like, I used to be protective. You're going to meet some of my people who put money in my show. Why not? What do I care? Pitch to them. They get pitched to all the time. These people evaluate a lot of pitches. Some of them are producers. Some of them don't want to be producers, right? But they invest. They support. Hear from them what they like, what they don't. Also, artistic directors from regional theaters are going to be in the pitch booths. So you'll get this chance. So that's what the Theater Maker Summit is. So Facebook user, whoever you are, at 12:42 p.m., come to the Theater Makers Summit and get a chance to meet other people and pitch your show. Let's see. Is it wise to film one fully choreographed musical number from the show to show at a reading? Sure. Try it. Give it a shot or use that as a follow-up. I just did a reading last week. A whole bunch of people couldn't make it. I shot 5 minutes of it. It's a great follow-up. I was evaluating the video yesterday and I was like, oh, this isn't the best, but it's not the worst. And it's a reason for me to follow up. It's going to get people. These people are already interested. It will. The music is great. Like, all this stuff is great. They'll see a little movement. Yeah, it will get them a little bit further down the line. It will be another impression. Remember, all the things that you do are advertising impressions. That's another one. I love it. And here's the key, by the way. What we learned over the pandemic is, boy, oh boy, like in 2015, we live streamed Daddy Long Legs and we were the first Broadway or off-Broadway show to do this. And I remember thinking this streaming thing is going to be a thing, like a thing. And then I made a boo-boo, talk about the things that we regret. I didn't shoot all of my shows and put it in a box where I could release them later. Now, the reason is it would have cost me a lot of money. And when we do shows in New York, we're constantly worried about getting to next week, not thinking a year or two ahead. Like I said at the beginning, we should be thinking a year or two ahead like CEOs do and the private equity people do and shareholders do, all that stuff. We should be thinking like that. I didn't. And if I had my shows, whether it was Getting the Band Back Together or Once on This Island or Spring Awakening, in a box that I had the potential to release, filmed well enough, I may have been able to do something very exciting during the last year and a half, like Hamilton did. It was in a box. They put it on Disney Plus, right? So what I always want you to do is capture as much content as possible. Shoot it. Shoot a fully choreographed number. Record it. Demo everything. Get a marketing toolkit together. Then decide what you're going to do with it. But it's always good to have that stuff. Always good to have those tools that you can use for later. So give it a shot. Let's see here. Working on the pitch. Great. Lots of hearts there, Nicole. Thank you for that. Megan Ann, you talked about COVID testing for readings. What other challenges are you facing with readings and how can we overcome those? So yeah, we got to get tested. We've got to overcome the potential resistance, although I'm not seeing a lot of this right now. People coming in live to see the readings, how we do these, which by the way, I'm now a real fan. I was a fan of this before, but now more than ever, I'm a fan of doing your readings in theaters. More open air, better ventilated in a lot of cases. So I'm looking to do readings in just bigger spaces. It makes people more comfortable, right? Of course, we're requiring vaccinations, masks, et cetera. But there's a little more friction. Remember, your job as a marketer, and we're all marketers, your job is to remove friction, to get people to do what you want them to do, come to a reading, invest in your show, direct your show, whatever that is you want, remove the friction. There's a bit more friction. You might have to get tested. You might have to wear a mask. But so what can we do to make people more comfortable to do this? And what putting readings in theaters is one of the ways that we are doing it. One of the ways that we're doing it. Providing fun masks, you know, all sorts of things that you can do to embrace the flaw, if you will, of it. And of course, recording it and making sure we have it so that we can show to people if they can't come or don't feel comfortable coming. Let's see here. Wowie Zowie. These Wowie Zowies are great. When is the Neil Diamond musical coming? Oh, I love to answer that question. So I'm going to answer that question with a link of my own. Here are the, Mary, I can't put a comment in. Mary, put the beautiful noise, abeautifulnoisethemusical.com into the chat. And go and sign up for that. Put your email in there. You'll be the first to know and get the first chance to buy tickets. Abeautifulnoisemusical.com goes to Boston in first performance, world premiere. It's A Beautiful Noise, the musical, by the way. Beautiful Noise, the musical. There you go. Ooh, that reminds me. A Beautiful Noise, the musical. And I'll tell you why I'm repeating it many times and why I want this to be the right link. Let's put that right link in there. A Beautiful Noise, themusical.com. June 21st is the first performance, the world premiere of that. There's a Easter egg on this website. So here's a fun little marketing tip. So what I'm doing on all my show websites right now, and you've heard it here first, I actually haven't announced this yet. So I put an Easter egg on this website. So go to the website, scroll around, and you will find here something, a little clue, where if you look around, you might find a little Easter egg, a little something fun just to brighten your day. So now I'm telling you that. Now that's the fun part. And we do these little Easter eggs in the hope that you'll be like, oh, there's this really cool Easter egg. And you share that with other people and it builds from there. So that's what I'm gonna do on all my shows. This is a fun little thing. It's just, you just bury a little secret in there and hope the secret spreads, right? It's like a secret menu at In-N-Out Burger or any of this stuff. Yep. Steal from what other people are doing, other successful things, and bring it into the theater. That is my MO and it can be yours too. Just look at what's working for other people and try it out. It's a fun little thing. Is it going to like change the trajectory of the musical? No, but I'm always looking for what little special magic fairy dust I can sprinkle on my shows to make them just a little different than your normal basic starter website. Because the fact is, this Beautiful Noise, musical website isn't our final art. It isn't the final website. It's nothing, right? It was just a placeholder. I wanted to make it a little special. So that's what I did. Katie asks, when prepping for a musical, what time perimeters should be considered? You mentioned 10 minutes, so 5 minutes, and then questions or a 10-minute pitch. I've also heard 3 minutes. So this is about pitching musical. So I like to think of my pitches in stages. So I often start with a one-line, two-line pitch and then a break to get a reaction. For example, I'll go back to some of my first. Altar Boys. It's about a Catholic boy band who sings songs like "Girl, You Make Me Wanna Wait." Then I wait for a laugh, right? Yeah, and the characters' names are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Juan. Oh, and then there's Abraham. He's Jewish. So I'm dripping out the pitch and getting people hooked. Remember, micro content. You're seeing a theme. Da-da-da. And then I go into more. And then I go into more. And then I go into more. What I never do is just launch, 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 talk, 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 mouth moving fast, 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 and not letting them react. Because the fact is, I also learn from their reactions or lack thereof. Because Altar Boys, it's about a Catholic boy band who sings songs like "Girl, You Make Me Wanna Wait," was not my first pitch. I forget what it was now. But it took me pitching it 100 times until I landed on that, which got me the best reaction to keep pitching, right? So that's what I do, try to break it up. Just a little bit of content, a little more piece of content, and more and more and more. Hugh, I'm sorry, the scroll is going by very fast. I'm sorry you feel you've been ignored. No one's ignored you, Hugh. But I'm going to go back and scroll. Whether you're here or not, I'm going to answer your question. Where are you, Hugh? Everybody show Hugh some love. There we go. Oh, it's Bear. Bear, Bear, Bear. Bear. There's, where are you now? I just lost it again. Do you know if anyone other than me and my collaborator is working on a musical about Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Hello, Bear. How are you? Hope you're still there. I don't. So you have found something unique there. So I love that idea. My daughter is a huge fan of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We put a picture of her and her Ruth Bader Ginsburg poster on my Instagram the other day. So I have not heard anything like that. Go to it. I would get something up and get it out fast because it's very topical right now, of course. Go for it. Go for it. I love it. Sorry I missed your question there, but I'm glad we got to it. What else? Ooh, here's a great idea. Doing a reading in a theater, you could do a fully choreographed number live as a surprise. Love it. Just love it. That's a fantastic idea. These little surprises about readings, because reading is like the worst name for it, by the way. A reading sounds boring, right? That's not what we want to do. We want to hear. We want to see. We want to watch. I like presentation, by the way. So yeah, exceed people's expectations. Exceed them by doing something different. There's the prepping. Maui, wowie, more, more, more. Okay. Oh, Nicole loves your idea there, Bear. That's great. Presenting. I think I got to all the questions. If I ignored any questions by accident, if I missed any of those questions, raise your hand quickly and throw the question back in the chat. Is half Zoom and half physical play a new form of theater? Yeah, why not? Make it up. I love it. Let's go for it. This is I learned this from someone reminded me that out of the last pandemic, 1918, Hollywood was born. Like film was born really right after that. A whole new art form. That's no coincidence. A whole new art form of theater, of entertainment is being born right now. And half Zoom, half theater could be it. Zoom theater certainly is it. What kind of space is good to do a table reading in? Hey, Kimberly, anything comfortable. Go for comfort with table readings. Rehearsal rooms, that kind of thing, but go for comfort for early rooms. Make people feel at home. Supreme Court play, musical, all the judges. It's like a Supreme Court version of 12 Angry Men. Like, wow, that would be fascinating. there's someone's onto something here, because I'm a big believer that the best drama opens up the world, opens up the doors on a world we've never seen before or are curious about. We've never seen into the arguments and the conversations between Supreme Court justices. Fantastic idea. Someone go out and do that. Someone go out and do that and bring it back to me. Please bring it to me, because that's exciting. Jen asks, wondering how to open the conversation about investing with family and friends. Open it up. Just start it. Hey, I'm doing something. I wonder if you could support me and help me. Just go for it. Just ask. Like, you've supported me in the past. I'm wondering if you could do it again. Here's what I want to do. Remember, they're going for you. They want to support you. So pitch you. This is important to me. Why is it important to you? Go for your why. Go for your passion. Show them why it means so much to you, right? That's how you do it. That's how you do. Show it how it means so much and how you're going to do everything you can to make it work. That person who invested in me was doing it because they also knew I was going to work my butt off to make that show a hit. By the way, that show didn't happen. The next one did. They invested in it. And it went on to do very, very well. Very, very well. So it worked out for them. Nathan, the equity reading contract says readings can't be used to attract investors. That's some very interesting language. You're doing your reading for other people to attend it. There you go. There you go. That's it. You don't have to say you're seeking investment. You're just seeking feedback, right? Great. Angela said, question unanswered above. Question unanswered above. When you have material which is timely, how do you move it forward fast? Well, Angela, what are you going to do right after this challenge? What are you going to do? Come up with three things today. Three, not just one. Usually I'm a one person a day guy. But today, you're going to come up with three things that you can do today to move your project forward. Three, three, three. That's it. Because if you want something to move forward fast, you're going to apply more pressure to it. Three things that you can do fast. Call somebody, do this, reading. It's up to you. It's up to you. So much of this is self-perpetuated. Like, I've missed deadlines before. I've missed opportunities. And I have to say to myself, the reason I am not getting this chance is because I didn't do these other things I could have done. I could have done. So find three things you can do today. Three things. Michelle, you're very welcome. Very welcome. Kickstarter. Yes, Kickstarter is a great way, says Christina Zill, to open it up. Very passive way to say to friends and family, for sure. But remember, the personal push, the in-person ask, the Zoom ask, the phone ask, in that order, by the way. Try to go in-person well. What it means, you're going to raise money faster and you're going to raise more of it when you're doing these personal pitches rather than mass pitches via Kickstarter, et cetera. Do them all, but really go for those personal pitches if you can. I think I got them all. We're just past 1 o'clock. Yes, but 12 angry women, says Nicole. I love that. I love that. We've seen some versions of 12 Angry Men with women, or I know one's coming, which I think that's fantastic. But I'd love to see this Justice play or musical or whatever it is. So whoever's going to do that, please go for it. And Bear, I can't wait to see yours as well. I think I got to all the questions. I'm going to go on to some last minute business. And then if there's another question, I'll get to it. But don't forget about replays. You can watch the replays of all the challenges this week that we've done. Even if you missed them, watch them again if you need a steroid shot, right? If you need a steroid shot of inspiration or motivation, watch one of the challenge replays. That's why they're there. That's why we save them, to kick you in the butt again. I do this a lot. Whenever I'm feeling like I can't get up in the morning, or I can't start this, or oh, it's so late, I'm tired, I just listen to something that I know will get me juiced. Right. I listen to, whether it's a self-help book or whether it's an affirmation recording or something that always works for me. Go for it. Or watch a favorite movie that you love. I do this a lot too, because I watch something and then I go, God, I'm so moved by this movie, this musical, this play. That's what I want to do. I want to move people like I moved right now. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. What can I do to make that happen? So that's a great one. Great one for tonight. You guys have worked hard all week. Worked hard all week. One of the things you should do tonight, pull out a great movie, pull out a great book, great something, digest it, read it, enjoy it, and go and feel, let it overwhelm you, let it wash over you how moved and excited you are and thrilled by what just happened. And now imagine you making something that has the same effect on millions of other people. Millions. I have a feeling you'll get back to your computer or your notebook and start working right away. Try it. It works for me. What's one of my top favorite movie shows that you love? Well, Hamilton always gets me going these days. Les Mis always gets me going. Rudy the movie always gets me going. So those are just a few. Okay, I am here to announce now the winner, the grand prize winner, iPad, Apple Pen, and Procreate app. This is hysterical. And boy, oh boy, do I hope he's still here, because he will really see how much we honor, respect, and love him. The winner of the of all the iPad, of all the stuff, is Bear Kosick. Bear, you won. You won. I really hope you didn't leave. I hope you didn't leave. You won the big prize. One of our most loyal and faithful members, whose questions went back so fast I missed, but we got to. And it's a fantastic playwright. I went to see his show over the summer that he put up early in the return of theater, which I was so proud to attend, because there he was doing it when so many other people weren't. Bear, I'm so glad the fact that you did all your homework and worked your butt off again is such a testament to your tried and true spirit of being the ultimate theater maker. And I hope you stuck around to hear your name and hear all this. You win. We will be in touch. We know where you are. Congratulations on that. What else do I have to tell you? Oh, lastly, let me just tell you this before we kick it off. Did you enjoy today? Did you enjoy today? I hope you enjoyed today. Did you enjoy all week? You enjoy all week? Oh, we got to do Wowie Zowie. We're going to get to Wowie Zowie in a minute. If you enjoyed all this stuff, these speakers today, all of it, let me tell you something. You're going to love the Theater Maker Summit. It is my most favorite event of the year. Because frankly, there's just more people. There's just more theater makers. There's more A-list theater makers. There's more emerging theaters. There's more theater makers in a room. If you're like me, you love theater makers. So the more of us around, the more of us talking about theater, the more theater gets made, the more energy. So if you're inspired by this challenge, if you are inspired by today, just wait to see what happens until you attend the Theater Makers Summit. And we're making it as easy as we can for you. So we've dropped the price just for challenge participants. So don't share it with other people. It's just for you guys. Just for challenge participants. And we're giving you the bonus day because we know you like bonus days. We know you like extra stuff. So go to Theater Maker Summit. Use the code PLACES. Save that money. Save that money and then put it into your show. And I'm going to tell you what. We're going to do another session like this. There's going to be another session where just me improvising, drinking a lot of coffee, and probably giving away stuff. So we're going to do this at the summit. We're going to do it at the summit this year. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But believe me, I'm not the reason to go to the summit. All these other amazing people. And what I love about these people this year, from Daniel to Cody Renard to all these people, there's a lot of these names that you didn't know last year that you know now. You could be one of those names. You could be one of those names that people may not know right now. And next year, you could be speaking at the summit. You will hear tips and strategies about what these people are doing, what they did over the last year, from mindset to very practical advice on how they market themselves, what they are doing to collaborate with people, find directors, find investors. You'll get a chance to pitch shows. You're going to hear all the stuff, in the hopes that you will be one of the names that people know next year, the year after, wherever that is. whenever that is. So come, go to the Theater Maker Summit, grab one of those tickets, save the bucks just for you guys. I think we're only doing this until the end of this weekend, though. So this has a deadline on it. So make sure you grab it before the ticket. You'll still be able to come, of course. The ticket prices go up, and I just wanted to see you save some money. So that's it. Theater Maker Summit, the place to be November 5th, 6th, and 7th. Is that right? November 5th, 6th, and 7th, or 6th, 7th, 8th? Dun, 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 dun. 6th, 7th, and 8th. I'm going to be there early. I will be there early. We're actually going to do, if you're in the New York area, we're going to do some meet and greets too. We're going to do some in-person stuff. There's a whole group that looks like they're going to see Thoughts of a Colored Man on Saturday night. So there'll be some in-person networking opportunities as well if you're here. A ton of stuff. So go check it out. Phoebe's in. Love it. So go check it out. We'll put that link in the chat. Lastly, Maui, Wowie, Zowie, whatever the title was, Wowie Zowie. The winner is, I just got slacked by Mary, Stephen Hoover. Stephen Hoover, Mary Dina, loves your pitch. Wowie Zowie, when a 1920s free-thinking flapper and Broadway star time travels to 2020, her uptight granddaughter and aspiring theater maker must help her return or risk never being born. I mean, that is amazing. That's amazing. I love this. It's hey, Stephen, if you're still on, congratulations. Congratulations. If you're still on and listening, you won Theater Maker Summit membership. Number two, chat me a movie. And anyone, like, chat me a movie that this musical sounds like it's in the style of. Hey, Stephen, you're welcome. In the style of, or a musical, or some other thing out there. What does that remind you of? In the style of this, Wowie Zowie is a musical, Someone give me something to compare it to. Congrats for coming in like crazy on the chat. Anyone have anything? It's like a kind of Terminator feel. Starman, says Jennifer Maisel. Great. So he, Great Gatsby meets Terminator. Great. So this is a very, it's a very Hollywood style, but a very easy way to improve all of your pitches. You get the authority and the brand. You borrow the brand for your original show. So I'm going to leave you with that tip. You got a pitch, throw in the name of something that people like me are very familiar with. So instantly we can sink our teeth into. Believe me, you mentioned Back to the Future in a pitch like that. You mentioned Terminator. We go like this. Oh, ah, we nod. That's what you want. Increase the odds of your success, just getting people to nod. So try that. If you have a pitch and you don't have something you can frame it with, compare it to, throw that into the pitch today. If you think that tip will work, it will. If you want more tips like that, if you are looking for strategies and ways to increase the odds of your success, there's one place you should be this November 6th, 7th, and bonus day 8th, Theater Makers Summit. Amazing speakers, amazing theater makers, including you. We will see you there. I will see you there. I am so thankful for every single one of you for being a part of the theater and helping get more theater out there in the world. Thanks for challenging yourself. Thanks for the work you're doing on yourself and for the theater. We're all going to benefit. The Renaissance is coming. You're going to be a part of it. See you at the Theater Makers Summit this November 6th, 7th, and 8th. Thanks so much, everybody. Bye-bye.
Welcome back, everyone.
Places, please.
I think it's going to be an explosion of joy and of expression.
Thank you for being a theater maker.
The best investment and education you can get in 3 days.
Begin to foster that relationship. It can take off from there.
Yes. This is exactly what I'm looking for.
It was like exhaling. It was wonderful.
The Theater Makers Summit is for anyone and everyone who is serious about their craft.
I just had a great experience the whole 3 days.
Virtual, because we can allow so much networking and so many connections that we actually couldn't do live.
It's an opportunity to hone your skills, to listen to industry leaders.
And everyone's so articulate about their experiences. Alan Menken, Kelly Devine, Tom Sesma, and Jesse Muir, Jen Colella, very inspiring. And Ken, of course, the reason for the season, right?
If you're a creative, if you're a writer, composer, producer.
You're who want to know how to make the world a better place when we come back. And we start by doing that right here and now and doing the work, which is this, which is coming here and being reminded and re-inspired.
Where there is great need, there is great potential. And the world needs what we're doing.
You can make an investment of time and resources and energy and wake up tomorrow and go at it and keep going at it and keep going at it. And that will, without a doubt, get you ahead.
The connections.
Extraordinary.
Combo platter of valuable Broadway information.
Everyone there together wanting to make more theater. There's nothing like it.
This is what we love to do.
That's it.
Can't wait to see you.
It's the Theater Makers Challenge. Places, please.
Places, please.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.